Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hi, everybody. What's up? Would help if I turned on the mic. I'm a little bit discombobulated today. Sal Capaccio with you for a couple of reasons, by the way. Number one, it's a Monday. It's a Buffalo football Monday. And the Bills did not have a game yesterday to talk about. We had a game on Thursday to talk about on Friday. So that's number one. So I'm a little bit like kind of disjointed thinking about, okay, Monday, extra point show. Got to go over the game. Got to talk about it. And that was on Friday we did that. Okay. Number two, I am not normally big headphone guy. Today, I'm big headphone guy. I like my earbuds. Dan Dale is producing today. Hi, Dan. I like earbuds, and today I forgot my earbuds. Look, so I'm wearing my Beats. By the way, they're great headphones, but I just don't love wearing them for radio. I like the earbuds because I like to have a little bit more of a, not an enclosed sound in my ear sometimes. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. I kind of like the big earphones.
Do you really?
Makes me like hear more. Sometimes I
like
get worried
them when
about
the
music. Headphones.
Yeah.
I get worried that they're just going to fall out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't have that.
When I'm on the sidelines doing the Bills broadcast, I only put one earbud in one ear. The other ear I keep so I can hear what's going on with the crowd or something going on in the sidelines. So that way I can report on it and say, oh, yeah, I heard Sean McDermott yelling at the official or whatever, something like that. Right? And I want to hear the natural sound. How loud is the crowd? But I'm big headphone guy today. If you're watching on the stream, by the way, you can come and see big headphone guy today. Sal Capaccio with you. No studio Capaccio today. We are at the WGR Sports Radio 550 Just Call Jed Studios here in Amherst. But you can come and watch us on the stream because it's a Monday. It's a Buffalo football Monday. When you watch on the stream on a Buffalo football Monday, you'll see, got the Victory Monday shirt going on, even though it was a Victory Friday, and now it's a Victory Monday because we roll into the week, and that's how we roll. And of course, every single Monday here on a Buffalo Football Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Yeah, so I think we settled now that it's like everything was kind of a bit different this morning. Getting in here, thinking about, okay, there's no game to talk about. Do we want to just kind of look at the rest of the league yesterday, which I will do, Do we want to focus on what happened on Thursday? I can't do that. Did that on Friday. But of course, what we do on Monday is we take calls. So I want you to call me at 803-0550. By the way, you could also check us out on the stream, WGR 550 on YouTube. And when you do check us out on the stream, you can comment in the chat box. We call that the bullpen. Say hi to the bullpen. Hi, bullpen. I want to recognize you early every Monday, but let you know that if I don't chat with you, that's because I'm doing the show and we have other things going on. So you could chat with each other and, of course, comment on anything I say, but it's not that I'm ignoring you. I see you. Thank you. Hello. We love you. We got Owen also monitoring the bullpen and working the video stream. What's up, buddy? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was great. Had a great weekend. Just watching a whole lot of football, not having to stress about the Bills at all, which was awesome.
You a fantasy player too?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Big time. So, how'd that go for you this weekend?
We're all right. I'm riding the guillotine ride tonight. I need David Montgomery to stay alive. I need him to score like 15 points. I'm going. Jer and me are on the cut line.
Oh really?
So he's got Goff and Andrews tonight. Man. I've got Montgomery. I'm up by like 10.
I could just sit back and relax in that. You know why? Because I picked up CeeDee Lamb and Michael Pittman last week.
And you
outbid
me. And
then Lamb got hurt, but he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I know. And I bid on Lamb, a number I thought was going to blow everybody out.
And I got
him. And then I woke up that next morning to your bid on Lamb, and I lost out. Hey, and I knew I needed him because my team is not as strong as I was hoping it would be. And you got me last year.
I don't have much money left, though, in the old bidding process, but I did get him, and I had a big week this week, and I'm like, okay, I think I'm good for a little while here. By the way, I didn't even notice you have a camera on you now.
I do. I got one in here.
When did that start?
I know we got cameras in the producer booth and in my booth. When we went to training camp, we needed some sort of travel cameras.
All right.
And when they're not traveling, like at Bills games, or we did our pregame stream over the weekend or on Thursday now.
Wow.
Those travel there, and then when they're not out, they're in our producer
booth. Now that you have a camera, I have to ask you, like, do you think about what you wear coming in here versus when you didn't have a camera?
I try to. It escapes me a lot of mornings because it's, 4:30 when I'm leaving the house.
Yeah, I totally get it.
I will get halfway here the times that I don't think about it and go, oh, man, I might look like a little bit of a weirdo.
Well, or you could just say, hey, guys, my camera's not working.
Right,
today.
Yeah. I can't always pull that.
Don't you control it?
That's exactly right. I've got all
you
the
control
strings.
When you're actually seen in the on the stream and in the bullpen.
Exactly. So I can just I'll keep myself off. I like this shirt I'm wearing today. So I
yes,
put myself
I do too.
Right
you look great. Me. You look great. You came in here. I'm like, he's ready. He's ready for the warm weather here today. We have another nice day out. By the way, real quick, Owen, Sabres do open tonight. So interested in watching that. They're in Columbus tonight, preseason, obviously. Paul Hamilton's actually going to join us at 11:30 for a quick preview today on a Buffalo Football Monday. We'll turn it into a bit of a Hockey Monday late in the show as well. Just to kind of give you a quick preview, but excited to see the guys back on the ice.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I went and called the last Prospects Challenge game with Paul and Brayton.
Love it.
That was super exciting just get back in the arena,
see
some guys play, and now we'll get a little bit closer to full regular season NHL action tonight. It's going to be super exciting.
So. I love it. All right, well, that's Owen. He's producing today on a Buffalo Football Monday. We got Dan Deal producing on the audio side behind the glass, and we are ready for your phone calls at 803-0550 as the Bills now head to week number four. Already week four in the NFL, right? I mean, we wait so long and then bam, 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 it just happens. At 3-0. And they are, folks, they are just looking standings-wise, okay? When I say looking really good, like, yeah, there's things on the field that you need to improve and they need to improve. But, folks, they are looking great in the standings right now. They're only in the entire NFL, six undefeated teams at 3-0. Three in each conference, the Bills are one. And when you look at the AFC, there's only three each, three undefeated teams in the AFC. And right now it's the Chargers and Colts along with the Bills. If you look at their schedules, Chargers actually have the Giants. They should beat them, but man, the Giants fighting for their season now. Then they get the Commanders, the Dolphins, and then they play the Colts. They play each other 4 weeks from now. So it's a ways down the road. But if you look at their schedule, it gets a little bit tougher. You look at the Colts and their schedule. They got the Rams this week. The Rams will be looking to really bounce back. This is a game on the West Coast. I think this is a tough one for Indy. They're undefeated start to the season could end right away this week. We'll see. And then, of course, there's the Bills. And the Bills right now at 3-0 have two home games coming up, one against a Saints team that they will be, I think, what is the line? 16? Did I read 16 and a half? Is that right, Owen? Yeah, okay. 16 and a half, something like that. 16, 16 and a half. I mean, the Bills should take care of business against the Saints. It would be a drastic, terrible upset if they didn't. But they go to 4-0, then you're looking at the Patriots at home on a Sunday night, and the Patriots just can't get out of their own way offensively, turning the ball over yesterday like mad to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the Bills go to Atlanta for a Monday night game, and holy cow, did the Atlanta Falcons offense look terrible yesterday against the Carolina Panthers. Atlanta, through three games, has only scored 22 points. So, I mean, what we're looking at here is a real look at 6-0 at the bye. I mean, then you get some reinforcements back in Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. When I was doing a lot of the rounds on radio, TV, whatever, during the offseason, going on local radio, other markets, going on national radio shows, whatever, even here on WGR, I would say, people would ask about predictions. What do you think about the Bills? I'm not into necessarily giving you a record prediction. I don't even like doing score predictions on a game-by-game basis, right? And I did the one thing I kept saying this year. Not that it was just some huge novel concept that only I thought of, but I was very, very real confident that this could be happening this year. The one thing I kept saying was this team is going to get the one seed. And one of the biggest reasons was the schedule. Yes, because of them. They're a good team. They have an elite quarterback, of course, right? But they had everything and have everything set up this year for them to get the one seed. And it's playing out before our eyes. I think if the Bills don't get the one seed right now, it would be a massive upset, to be quite honest with you. I wonder if there is a website I used to go to that would have that. Maybe I can find that, but exactly what the odds are to get the one seed. But let's see what it is right here. Buffalo. No, I don't have it. I have the odds in front of me. Someone could find it. But either way, it's got they have to be the number one odds to do that. Like that to me is a big deal. And you could say, well, Sal, they've lost at home in the playoffs. Yes, that's right. They did lose to Cincinnati. They did lose to Kansas City at home in the playoffs. I get it. I think Cincinnati was obviously a bit of a different type of challenge because of what happened. DeMar Hamlin, they played the previous week. They were gassed. I think they just had nothing left in the tank. Not an excuse. Just think that Cincinnati, beating the Bills, didn't get a pass rush that day. Whatever. It was a bad loss. Kansas City, I mean, they were trotting out A.J. Klein to cover, you know, Travis Kelce. And one of the things that, and the reason why was because the Bills had to play that year in the first round. The Bills have lost players in the first round almost every year that they've played in the playoffs. Or at least been banged up. To me, it's not just the home field. It's the bye that matters. That's the reason it matters. And if you can get to the end of the year and get that one seed and you can get that bye, you get 2 weeks to rest up, reformulate your game plan, recalibrate. I just think that everything is set up this year for this to happen. And then you really have to get there then. And you have to do it. You have to finish the deal, get to the Super Bowl at that point. We're a long ways from that, but you got to start thinking about how this season sets up at some point. And over the next 3 weeks, the Bills have the Saints at home, the Patriots at home, at the Atlanta Falcons. Then they go to a bye. Then they're at Carolina before a big matchup against the Chiefs here. And how big is that? Well, where will Kansas City be at the time? So last night, the Chiefs, they did not play really good football last night. But they played a team and the Giants who played terrible football last night, to be quite honest. Offensively, at least. Offensively terrible football. I mean, that sequence by Russell Wilson and the Giants offense near the end zone was just terrible, if you hadn't seen it yet. They have a chance to go make it a one-score game with about 3 minutes left, which is still possible. You have the two-minute warning and I think a timeout or two still. And they just looked like a team that had never practiced a play inside the other team's 10-yard line. It was terrible. And the Chiefs come away with a victory We would all love to have seen the Chiefs lose, but man, they don't look anything like what we're used to seeing the Chiefs. Now that said, remember last year we kind of said the same thing all year. They couldn't get to 30 points last year. And then they did a couple of times, and then of course they did in the playoffs against the Bills. But this Chiefs offense looks very, very pedestrian and out of sorts. And last night, passes behind the line of scrimmage they couldn't complete. They'd even, Mahomes picks it up, and Collinsworth talks about how great of a play it was. A terrible play. Yes, it was good hustle by Patrick Mahomes. Smart. Give him credit for that. Their number one play right now is just chucking it deep to Tyquan Thornton and hoping something happens. So now they have the Ravens next week, by the way. I saw today people debating, who do Bills fans root for when it comes to Ravens and Chiefs next week? And my answer to that is kind of a nuanced answer. I think if the Ravens, you want the Ravens to lose tonight to the Lions, right? And if the Ravens do lose tonight to the Lions, I think root for them to beat the Chiefs next week, because then the Ravens would have two losses already, including one to the Bills, so you're already three games up on them. Give the Chiefs another loss. But if the Ravens win tonight, I think maybe you root for the Chiefs next week, because then you could still, both teams would then have two losses. I think the further you push them down, the better. And the Chiefs are going to struggle anyway to win their division. So I'm not too worried about them catching the Bills, but sure enough, they'll have their opportunity. Because remember, it doesn't matter. Even if you finish with a better record, you got to win your division. And right now, the Chargers look like the better team there. 803-0550 is the number. I think Billy disagrees a bit. He's a little worried about Toronto. He says here, hi, Billy, you're first up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's worried about KC, I should say. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, Sal, I mean, I've said this over and over again, but do teams not have video on Patrick Mahomes? I mean, you're talking about the end of the game. How about the end of the half? If you're 350 pounds and there's a loose ball on the ground, just fall on the damn thing.
I know.
Pick it up so the...
Yeah, I know, but you know what? It's just you're trained, you do scoop and score drills, you're right. I mean, we'd all love to see it. If they would have fell on it, then the Giants would have had a golden opportunity, but the guy has it in his hands, he wants to score. I get it, that's what you do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, Sal, you say they lost it at the end. I'm in a football pool, a big pool, and I need the Giants to cover this game. I know it's a tough ask, but everybody covers against Kansas City. Everybody knows that from last year. And I need Kansas City. It's 6-6. Of course, the quarterback throws a terrible interception. But the thing that I've said, and I hope Buffalo learns from this, I hope other teams learn from this. When there's 2 minutes left in the half, I don't care if you don't score. I mean, I want you to score, but there was nobody better in football than Tom Brady of either they're getting a field goal or a touchdown, or he's running the damn clock out. I kept saying to my buddies, please run the clock down. Don't give Mahomes the ball back with a minute left. Run one play. Make them use their last time out. But no, they got to throw the ball. Mahomes, who everybody knows when he's cocking his arm at the end of the half, he ain't throwing the football. He's faking for you to jump up so he can run around you. He goes to the sideline, throws an 80-yard bomb. What do we have? Pass interference, field goal with no time left, 9-6 Kansas City, and I went to bed. I said, we should be up 3-7 points at the end of the half. But no, they play Mahomes dumb again. He gets the field goal, and of course Kansas City gets the cover, and I lose my pool.
Yeah, you are very, very upset today about it, and I can tell. I'm very sorry about you not covering. You are very upset today about this, and I'm sorry that you didn't win. And I appreciate the passion about that. I really do. Because you're hot today. Billy in Toronto up there, baby. If people go to work with Billy, you see Billy hanging out, just console him today, okay? Console him north of the border. Thanks, Billy. Let's come back south. Matt in South Buffalo. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I just had a question with the suspensions for the defensive linemen being, you know, about halfway over now. They can start practicing after the Saints game.
Yep.
I'm just wondering what what roster moves do you think the Bills will make or have to make to accommodate bringing them back to the active roster? And if there's, and just one other quick question, is there any discussion on keeping Prater as the kicker, or are they going to bring Bass back, assuming he's healed from his injury? I'll hang up.
Yeah, no problem, Matt. Okay, so these are two separate questions and issues. They're good questions, but let me just give you a generic answer that you're not going to love because it's generic, but it's true. There's still time to sort these things out. There is no pressure to do that right now. And what I mean by that is, yes, just so you know, maybe Matt is understanding the rules. He does understand the rules. What he said is right, but maybe some people are under the impression the Bills have to make a roster move next week when these guys practice. They don't. They're still suspended for three more games. Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt. They start practicing with the team. They're back at the facility after next week. The Bills do not have to make any roster move to put them on the roster. They cannot put them on the roster until after week six. So once that happens, then you're looking at that. We have three more weeks till then. Actually, three more weeks. After week three, we just completed week three. After week four, after week five, after week six. There you go. So basically 3 weeks from today. And listen, unfortunately, injuries could happen, right? So I don't know what roster moves they would make. I would assume at this point, if everybody stays healthy, that maybe Javon Solomon would be a guy that you would probably take out of there because he seems to be kind of the last man on the depth chart there right now of the active players at defensive end. As far as defensive line, that's a really good one. Maybe you just put Ogunjobi on the roster. And by the way, when I say that, I mean active. So let me see. Roster move. They'd have to release somebody, right? So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that specifically. And I don't know where they would go. But you have to remember, there will be probably injuries to have to at least sort through. Now, as far as Prater, again, here's the thing that you have to remember that's different about Bass's situation versus Hoyt and Ogunjobi. Even if Tyler Bass is totally healthy, the Bills have no obligation to put him back on the roster. They can ride this out as long as possible. With an older kicker in Prater, yes, I know he's made some big long kicks. Maybe you wait until the weather gets a little tougher. Maybe you see where his leg is. You make sure that Tyler Bass is healthy. And then in the middle of the season, you activate Tyler Bass and you move on from Matt Prater. I don't know. Maybe you just keep him in there all year if he keeps making kicks. I don't think it's a bad problem to have, but it is a decision you have to make at some point. But the Bills don't have to cross and make that decision next week. Tyler Bass and Max Harrison are both eligible to start practicing next week. Even if they start practicing, either one, the Bills then have 3 weeks to even activate them. Hoyt and Ogunjobi definitely start practicing next week, and the Bills, again, have 3 weeks before they have to activate them. So there's your answer there. I don't know. And when I said Javon Solomon, by the way, I didn't mean releasing him. I guess they could do that. But I meant like active-wise, who's actually playing. But yeah, I mean, if you release Javon Solomon or Landon Jackson, they're both subject to waivers and they're probably getting picked up. So I don't know how you do it. And then as far as defensive tackle's concerned, I mean, what do you have there? Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker. There's going to be some tough decisions coming. Jamarcus Ingram was inactive last game. Is that where you look? How about Damar Hamlin? Sam Franklin's been great on special teams, but he's taken a roster spot. Shaq Thompson and Joe Andreessen at linebacker. I think they want all three, both those guys, but they're both playing roles right now. Tyrell Shavers at wide receiver. You know what this comes down to? And by the way, if you have not heard, Matt Bovey and I have done It's Always Game Day in Buffalo for a while, but if you've not heard the last podcast we did last week, two podcasts ago, it was last week during the week on Wednesday, him and I had a really good debate that I heard from a lot of you on about Landon Jackson not being active. And Matt's position is, you're a third-round pick, you need to be active. Like, you got to be beating somebody out, and it's not a good look. I mean, he didn't say it's Brandon Bean's fault or Landon Jackson's fault, but my position is different than Matt's, which is, I don't think you have to do that at all. I think that it just shows it's a sign of a good roster. if Landon Jackson's a third round pick for the Carolina Panthers, he's probably playing no matter what. He's active every game. That's not the case here. And oh, by the way, Javon Solomon's kicking inside sometimes. He's filling a role vacated by Ed Oliver's injury and Michael Hoyt. Like, so I don't see it that way. The roster matters. Everybody in the roster matters. Building a good roster matters. That's why you have decisions like this that Matt just brought up. It's a really good debate, though. So go check it out. It's always game day in Buffalo. We're going to do another podcast later today. You can find that online wherever you pod. And, of course, at Sal Sports on YouTube where you can watch us. Dane in Lakeview. Hi, Dane.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Long-time season ticket holder. I have not noticed this before in previous years, but on the Bills sideline,
yep,
toward the scoreboard, the guy goes out on the field with the orange oven mitts, and I'm wondering, what is he signaling?
He is parking an airplane. No, I'm just kidding. He's not doing that. He looks like he's parking an airplane. It's a great question, Dane. I'm sure other people have noticed. I'm surprised you've never noticed before. What are you paying attention to during the TV timeouts?
Last year they had him too.
He's been there for decades.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, here's the reason, Dane, but I'll tell you why. I just said it on purpose. It's a TV timeout. So the guy in the orange mitts who comes out on the field, this happens at every game, he comes out there when there is a TV timeout. So when TV goes to commercial, he stands there to let the referee know that they're not back from commercial yet.
Got it.
So when you see him out there, you know it's okay to look down at your nachos and your beer, and you're good. But when you see him walk off, put away the nachos and beer and get ready to cheer again.
Yes. I love your insights, everything. GR is awesome. You guys do a great job.
You got it, Dane. I hope I helped. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe you don't notice that. Orange oven mitts guy. Yeah, he looks like he's parking airplanes out there. He's not. He is signaling. He's standing there to tell the official they are at a TV timeout. Do not start the clock yet. Do not go run a play. Got to wait for TV to come back. So if you, it's a great thing to look. It's the same thing at a Sabres game, by the way. Right, Owen? You know this from playing goal. If you see the red light come on, it's a TV timeout. You can go get your water.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put out, they also have the people plowing the snow on the ice.
Well, that's true too.
But the red light does always go on. When we would have media timeouts,
yes,
in the North America League, we would have the same thing.
Yes.
All right, red light's off. I got to get back to the net.
So as a fan, if you're at a Sabres game, you look at the red light in the penalty box area.
Yep.
During a break, if you see it go on, go to the bathroom.
Right. Yeah.
You're good. Come on back.
That's your time to run. Exactly.
Right. If you're at a Bills game, you're at the game, you see the guy with the orange mitts on the sidelines, just off the Bills sideline, like near the scoreboard end. He's about the 25, 30 yard line. He comes out. He's generally got another guy with him carrying a cord, maybe even a monitor. But anyway, he's out there. He's signaling to the referee.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're in a TV timeout. You see that? You can go to the bathroom real quick. If that doesn't happen, they're starting play. When he's done, get back in your seat. Let's go to Tom in Florida. Hi, Tom. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Greetings from the Sun Coast. Three things. Number one, you are an excellent broadcaster. I've been in media 40 years, and what a brand you've created for yourself. And also, tip of the hat to Chopin Bulldog, too. Secondly, special teams. Can you speak a little bit about the emotion that those players go through? It amazes me. They come in probably their only action of the game, and they are so hyped. Mm. And I think that's when penalties occur. And I think the under-the-radar play in the Ravens game was when the Ravens punted. And I thought that Ravens special teams player could have pinned us at our one. And his emotion and his speed carried him into the end zone for the touchback. And now Josh is starting from the 20, not his one, with a whole different, you know, play set to call. And thirdly, confidence. What does confidence mean to an athlete? And my example is quite simply, any team that comes to Buffalo to play the Sabres believes they're going to leave with a victory. Any team that comes to Buffalo to play the Bills hopes that they can score an upset. And I think a lot has to do with, you know, the mindset and mentality going into a game. It takes a long time to get there. We had a long run where, you know, players came to Buffalo to play the Bills that thought they were going to leave with a victory. So I just think that that is a again, often looked mental part of the game.
Yeah. All right, let me touch on all three. First of all, number one, thank you so much for the kind words. I really appreciate it, Tom. And I work with an excellent group of broadcasters as well, as you have pointed out, Chopin the Bulldog and so many others here. Thank you. And I really appreciate that. Number two, I'll take the confidence one first. I think that we all know that confidence plays a role in anything in life, right? When you're confident in doing something, it doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you're not going to achieve the level at which you believe you're going to perform in anything you're doing. But I think if you have that confidence to step in and do it, it makes it so much easier in a lot of ways to do that job. You could also be overconfident and you could look past something. When your example, you said, teams coming to town. Yeah, we got the Sabres. You could also overlook them. But you know, confidence is important. I see it. We all see it in our kids in a lot of ways in athletics when we play. I see it in my son, but I see it too in NFL players, believe it or not. If you don't have the confidence that people around you are doing the right thing or you can get the job done personally, then it's going to impact you. There's a saying in basketball, shooters shoot. Shooters shoot. Even if they miss 6-7 shots in a row, they keep shooting because they're confident, because they're shooters, that they're going to make the next one. All right. Special teams, the emotions. It's a great point you brought up, Tom. Like, yeah, he's so hyped. He's trying to keep it out of the end zone, and he's going so fast and his emotions. But, you know, it also just physics, right? Physics plays a role in this. But special teams emotions, I agree with you. It just sets the tone on so many plays. And, man, how many big special teams plays did we see yesterday in the NFL? Holy cow. If you're a special teams guy or girl, you love special teams, yesterday was for you in the NFL. Yesterday was for you. Blocked field goals, blocked punts, punt returns, kick returns, didn't matter. Yesterday was a special teams day in the NFL. You start the game with a big special teams play. I don't know if you remember, Tom, last year, Reggie Gilliam against the Jets, special teams just pounded the return man and forced a fumble on the opening kickoff. The Jets were done after that. See ya. So you're right. but you got to do your job. Can't ride the wave of emotion. You got to be hyped. You got to be emotional, but you got to be under control. And that goes with the confidence as well. We'll take a timeout. Thanks a lot for the call, Tom. Thanks a lot for the kind words. We're late to the first break, but that's okay. We'll do that here. We'll come back, and we'll take more of your phone calls on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR Sports Radio 550.
2025 Josh Allen shouldn't exist. You should not be that gifted, that fast, that talented, jump over linebackers, yet he never throws interceptions. Usually 6'6 guys with that engine and that ability, I mean, they are letting it rip. Josh, you get all the upside, and you get none of the downside. I mean, listen to this. His last 12 games, including the playoffs, 30 total touchdowns, one pick. That makes no sense. His ability to control, you know, have the discipline to not just, I'm going to let it rip and throw it through that coverage is unbelievable.
That's Colin Cowherd. Josh Allen. I mean, Allen, I have not looked. I'm guessing he's still the favorite for MVP. I don't know for sure, though. I'll have to look at the odds. But, I mean, even after a kind of pedestrian type of game again, statistically, it was very good efficiently. But, like, not wowing. Three touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, I guess not pedestrian. It was better than that. But, like, I mean, not throwing a ton of yards, I guess, right? And then the week before that, obviously, that was a game where definitely the numbers were a bit down. He's still doing everything, you know, that an MVP does. And it doesn't have to be just about the best stats. And his stats are good. Real good. Somebody called last week and said they think James Cook could be in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year on top of Josh Allen in the conversation for MVP. I think that's a great point. He's starting off and looking terrific right now. I always do a breakdown on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday after the Monday night games are played, I put out there a statistical chart of where the Bills rank in all the different categories on offense and defense, and you see the ebbs and flows. I include like the last few weeks where they ranked. And it is a cumulative ranking, so where they are now in the league overall, but and then where they were after 2 weeks and where they were after 1 week. And you can kind of see the evolution and how it changes. Third down defense is going to be kind of fluctuating here for the first few weeks after all the stats. That's an area where they have to get better. I thought it was interesting, Sean McDermott on Thursday night after the game and then again on Friday with the media mentioned getting Miami in 15 third downs. That means you're playing really good first and second down defense. He's right. Not good enough on third down, 10 for 15. That's got to get cleaned up. I thought you got to give the Dolphins credit. They did some things with Tua. They got him out of the pocket. He also was flushed out. The Bills didn't finish the sack. He was flushed out, and then guys are downfield because you have to cover for longer. That's just the simple nature of football. You'd love to see more stops there, no doubt, and they have to get those stops, especially on third and long. When you don't get the quarterback on the ground or they get him out in space and they have a good plan to do that and the receivers who have a lot of speed are out there running around for a while, it's tougher to cover. You have to watch the whole league. You have to look at what the other team is doing. And that's a point I made just a little while ago in the bullpen again. Hi, bullpen. How are you? Having a good discussion on that whole podcast debate I had with Matt Bove about Landon Jackson not getting a jersey. And Matt's argument is, well, he's a third-round pick. He should be getting a jersey if not something went wrong. That's not, I don't think that's correct. And Matt and I have a very good talk about it. I think it means your roster's strong. And if you want to make if you do want to make the case that maybe he shouldn't have been drafted and you could go in another spot, totally understand that. I also would say, though, what third-round pick would be getting a jersey other than him based on where the roster was? Because there are guys, I mean, we do have Deion Walker, obviously, and TJ Sanders, but I'm going to tell you, when Larry Ogunjobi comes back, they might have to make a choice and say, is it TJ Sanders who doesn't get a game day jersey? That's something you have to think about. I think it may be Larry Ogunjobi who doesn't as well. But it's the sign of a good roster. The draft isn't just about playing this year. It's about developing talent. James Cook, while he wasn't inactive, didn't play a lot his rookie year. And there were people wondering, James Cook is a bust. He's not playing. Why is he not playing? Yeah, he's pretty damn good. AJ Epenesa was inactive the first couple of games of his rookie year. Now look, he's not an elite, you know, all pro player, but he's a solid player that they signed to a contract extension after his rookie contract was up. This is not new. But the big point I wanted to make here was how you have to pay attention to the league and don't just look at it with a laser focus on the Bills. 11 of 38. I did this last week. I didn't look since yesterday. 11 of 38 third-round picks this year were inactive the first two games. 11. And then four more were inactive for at least one of their first two games. That's almost, that's 15 of 38. I guess almost half, right? A little bit less than almost half. Of third round picks in the league that aren't even dressing for all their games. It's not like a Bills issue. That's just something that happens around the league. Guys get drafted, they make the team, but they don't get game day jerseys. Because if your third round pick and your fourth round pick and your fifth round pick are all practice, are all playing, and we know because the Bills, the defensive line, they have to because of, and TJ Sanders is a second round pick, obviously. Deion Walker, fourth round pick. These guys are playing because Ed Oliver's hurt, because Larry Ogunjobi's out, because Michael Hoyt's out. But if you're relying on your mid to late round picks to be dressing and contributing, then you probably means you don't have a great roster, to be quite honest. The better scenario is it's hard for them to get on the field. Like, that's a good thing. I don't know why it's a bad thing. That's where I lie on that. That's a good debate, though. Thank you very much. Bullpen again. Appreciate you today. Appreciate everybody watching here on the YouTube stream, WGR 550 on YouTube, and of course on a Buffalo Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. So, the Bills played on Thursday night. On Friday, we heard from Sean McDermott, who gave us a bit of an update on Matt Milano and Ed Oliver. And that's the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. And the update is, we'll see where it goes. But the good news is, neither were put on injured reserve. Now, we knew that about Ed before the Sunday game against the Jets the previous week, the 4 days before that. Now, Ed Oliver's missed two games. But I think the really encouraging news here is Matt Milano was not placed on IR before the Dolphins game. So his pectoral injury then that's an indication that he will be available within the next couple of games, hopefully. And maybe even next week, based on Sean McDermott saying that he thought he might even practice last week and he didn't. So we'll see. They give him a little extra time. And hopefully he's on the field Wednesday. So the Bills, nothing today or tomorrow. Wednesday, they're back on the practice field. The only notable injury from the game would have been Keontae Jenkins, a linebacker they called up from the practice squad, who has a leg injury. So it's great. The Bills obviously have some guys banged up. Ed Oliver missed, Matt Milano missed. But when you can go through a game and you come out of it, and the only guy who has some sort of injury you're even thinking about is a guy that you elevated from the practice squad, and hopefully even he's okay, that's very good, that's very encouraging, and it gets you on to the next week, which is Sunday, September 28th, against the New Orleans Saints. We'll get a weather update from Pat Hammer on Friday on that, but it looks like it's going to be beautiful. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Late last night, the Chiefs beat the Giants 22-9. And it was a game in which the Giants had everything right there to try and take it offensively, but could not do it. And give the Chiefs credit. I'm sure they were doing a lot to take away Malik Nabers, but holy cow. I mean, they didn't even throw to the guy, really. He did wind up with 7 targets at the end of the game. I think maybe 1 or 2 in the first half. The rest were kind of later. 2 catches for 13 yards. Just took him away. Wandale Robinson, a player that's played nicely for them. 1 catch for 26 yards. So give the Chiefs credit. But they did not look like the Chiefs we have come to know. In the first half yesterday, I tweeted this out. At Sal Sports on Twitter if you're not following. I tweeted out last night. I know there's a half left. But at the end of the first half, the Chiefs averaged 3.57 yards per play. Other than the game they rested all their starters last year and got blown out by the Broncos, the Chiefs, through a game, hadn't averaged that low of a number since 2014. Now, by the end of the game, they were at 4.6, which still is not great. It's actually exactly what the Giants averaged, 4.6. But it just goes to show you struggling to move the football. And I'll go back to the point I made earlier today. It's just another team in the AFC where, man, if they're going to be struggling all year, and yes, they're going to get Rice back, and they're going to get Worthy back and all that, they're going to get better. The Bills are in a position here where everything is set up for them to get that one seed, and that's what this season's about. This season is about getting that one seed now. Winning your division first, getting the one seed as a part of that. Sal Mayorana is going to join me at 11. It is a Monday, but it's a different kind of Monday. We had the reaction show on Friday with just your phone calls. So today we are actually going to talk to somebody, not only about the Bills, but we got some MLB playoffs coming up. So we'll just touch on that because we got a week left here and it's a Monday. And we talk with Sal throughout the summer on every Monday about football and a little baseball. What's a tiny sprinkle of baseball in there with the last week headed here, but mostly about the Bills. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from the Buffalo Bills. Sal Mayorana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle is going to join me at 11 a.m. Paul Hamilton with a very quick preview on the Sabres tonight at 11:30. So while it is a Buffalo football Monday, we're going to sprinkle in a few other things because we know the Bills had already played on Thursday, and then we head towards the Saints this coming Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, thanks for being with me, Sal Capaccio. We'll take a timeout here on WGR. You guys are good. You pay attention. I appreciate that. See, I'm just testing you. No, not really, but thank you. John says, after my talk earlier about getting jerseys on game day, John says, who on earth said James Cook was a bust? I never heard that until just now. Yeah, maybe bust was too strong, but people were definitely down on him, John, is the point. He had 89 carries his rookie year. Hey, he drafted this guy in the second round. Why is he not playing more? He fumbled his first ever carry in the NFL, if you remember that. At LA. And like he just didn't, let's see, his number, remember the first year attempts. James Cook, let's remember James Cook, second round running back the Bills took. Second round. He had one carry and fumbled his opening game. Then he had 11 the next week because the Bills blew out the Titans. You ready? Know what his carries were after that by game? 1, 0, 4, 2, 5-4-5. It wasn't until towards the end of the year when he actually had double-digit carries in three games. The point I was making was you can't just take a draft pick and say, that's where he's drafted, he's got to play, period, or something's wrong. Like, there's time to develop guys, too. And when they're ready to play, they're ready to play for whatever reason. There doesn't mean that the team is perfect choosing that all the time. You know? But that's the point I was making. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Buffalo Football Monday. We are going to have Sal Mayorana of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle come your way after the top of the hour break. We'll have Paul Hamilton at the bottom of the hour. We'll still sprinkle in some of your phone calls. And yes, today, I will not forget. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, it's all coming your way at the back end of the next hour. 1 hour down. It went quickly. Keep it rolling. 803-0550 here on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR. Hey, Sal Capaccio here for my friends at Window World of Buffalo. All right, now listen, whether it's building a winning team, as we've been talking about this morning, how to do that, or upgrading your biggest investment, your home, you want trusted partners who get it. That's why I trusted Window World of Buffalo for my own home. I couldn't be happier. Studio Capaccio is sealed tight, ready for the winter, and the windows look fantastic. I was so impressed that I had Window World go to my parents' house and they received the same professional treatment that you can expect as well. They install replacement windows, entry doors, sliding doors, all with everyday low prices, 0% interest financing options, no phony 50% off sales, just honest everyday value that's rarely beaten. Now, the best part is, if all that wasn't enough, every install comes with a true lifetime warranty, even covering glass breakage. Quality products, everyday value, all from a locally owned Buffalo company. That's Window World of Buffalo. Again, I trust them with my house, my parents' house. My mom could not be happier. They did a fantastic job. They're serving Buffalo, Jamestown, Rochester, Syracuse, and beyond. Visit windowworldofbuffalo.com. That's windowworldofbuffalo.com. Schedule your free estimate today.
Hand off to Cook, who goes into the end zone almost untouched for a 2-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen. Back to pass, fires, it's intercepted. Picked off by Terrell Bernard. Coming the other way and out of bounds at the 40-yard line. Terrell Bernard, Mr. Fourth Quarter, comes up huge. He read Tua like a book.
1-2, driven deep to right center field, way back. See ya, a grand slam for Ben Rice. What a Sunday for Rice, and the Yankees take a 5-1 lead.
Oh, Benny boy, 24th homer, 61 RBIs, a huge hit.
We're winding down the baseball season. We're firing up the football season. Sabres start tonight. A lot going on. Our guy Sal Mayorana is going to join me right now from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He's on the Wester Hotline. Of course, it is a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR, but we're going to sprinkle in a little baseball, sprinkle in a little hockey today. We got a lot going on, and it's the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday, brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Also, by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. All right, Sal, let's start with the Bills. We'll get into the Yankees and the final week of the season basically here. But I painted a picture to start the show that, man, everything is in front of this team to grab the one seed. The one thing they haven't done in this five-year reign over the AFC East is get the one seed. Everything is right there for them. Good morning to you, and do you agree with that?
Good morning to you, Sal, and I do. I mean, they could not have scripted a better start for the first 3 weeks of a season than this. You know, obviously they win all three of their games. The AFC East is pathetic, 2-0-3 teams, and then the Patriots somehow losing that game yesterday, just unbelievable. I mean, Pittsburgh is not good, and the Patriots handed them that game. So, I mean, they're in complete control of the division already. You know, the Chiefs are 1-2. There are a couple good teams in the AFC. I think the Chargers could be a problem. Obviously, the Ravens are going to be a problem, but they've got the tiebreaker.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, summer just started or just ended, Sal, and the Bills are already thinking about the one seed, which is it's kind of crazy when you think about that.
Yeah, it is incredible. And if you look at the schedule, it sets up really nicely for the Bills. I mean, seriously, Sal, they're not going to be underdogs in any game unless maybe late in the year the Eagles could come here as a one-point favorite. We could see about that. They're going to be favored in every game. And really, they have a very strong look at 6-0 at the bye, which would be an amazing position to be in.
Yeah, they do. I mean, look, the Saints are terrible. We saw that yesterday. I don't think the Patriots can come in here and win. I think that'll be a tough game, similar to the Miami game, but the Bills should prevail. And then I was thinking, Sal, that the Falcons game could be tricky on the road on a Monday night, but then they lose 30-0 to the Panthers yesterday.
Oh.
So, you know, what was that all about? Now, I mean, maybe if they move back to Kirk Cousins, they did yesterday in that game. I don't know if that'll be a permanent thing. You know, maybe they have a better chance, but I did think that was going to be a tricky one for the Bills, but it's kind of hard to think that way after the way the Falcons played yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. And actually, the Falcons, boy, I thought their offense would be pretty darn explosive this year, as long as Penix could at least do a certain type of job, a floor. But holy cow, they've scored 22 points, I think it is, or whatever, in three games. It's pretty crazy to think about. They're not off to a good start. I want to find their game right here, what they scored yesterday. But either way, Falcons, yeah, you're right, 30-0 yesterday. 42 points over three games, just not getting it done. Sal Mayorana, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. All right, let's kind of get in the nitty-gritty of the Buffalo Bills. What have you really liked, and what still concerns you maybe after 3 weeks watching the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, what I really like is James Cook. I mean, he has come back. You know, he got paid, and he looks as motivated as he's ever been. I think he's been, you know, Josh Allen clearly is the best player on the team. But James Cook right now, Sal, might be the second best player on this team. He is such a weapon. I love the way he's run the ball. He just looks dynamic. And, you know, we saw him really the first 2 years, I would say, of his career. He did not strike me as a guy who was going to be a dynamic, game-changing back. And we started to see more of that last year, I think. But now this season, every time he touches the ball, Sal, I feel like he's got a chance to break a big one. So I really like the way he has played. I think he's been a tremendous for the first three games. He's been tremendous for them. And then obviously what I don't like, which, you know, I'm not breaking news here, the defense I think has struggled. I mean, you can barely even count the Jets game, because that team is so anemic on offense that wasn't even a challenge. But in the two games where they've played, you know, teams that can play offense, the Bills have struggled. And I don't like this third down defense. I mean, it was brutal last week against Miami. So they've got some things to clean up there. But I also think they can do that. I think they've got the personnel to get that turned around. So that's what I like. That's what I don't like so far.
Yeah, and obviously people pointing to lack of deep ball passing, lack of explosive plays through the passing game. I think one thing we've seen is this team is just about, hey, we're going to avert mistakes. You're going to make mistakes, and we're just too good for you to overcome your mistakes. And I think that's kind of the philosophy. Now, look, it almost burned them against the Ravens. Then they had to go out and do it at the end of the game. But look at these games. Other than the Jets, that's exactly what happened. That's the blueprint. The other team made mistakes. The Dolphins, the interception. But even before that, the roughing the punter. Huge mistake right there. And, of course, against the Ravens, putting the ball on the ground with Derrick Henry.
Absolutely. The Bills have no turnovers in three games. This has been a thing going back to last year. You know, they've got this league record. They've not lost a turnover battle in, 24 straight games? It's a league record. So that is the hallmark of these Bills teams, is they don't make the killer mistake, and they do. The other team generally at some point is going to do that. Now, you mentioned the downfield passing game, and that is another concern for me. And look, the Bills seem to be a team on offense that can do whatever it needs to do that particular day to get the job done. But there's going to come a point where he's going to have to throw the ball downfield. And I still, you know, we've seen it for three games. I don't have a lot of faith in this receiving core getting open down the field. They do a great job underneath, and Allen has been very patient and, again, done exactly what is needed to do. But at some point, they got to push the ball downfield, I think, right? I mean, there's going to be a team that eventually is going to come up and really play them tough man-to-man press coverage and make those short passes difficult to complete. and he's going to have to start moving the ball downfield. You just hope this receiving core has enough to get open and get separation and give him some windows to throw.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't disagree with that at all. The Bills go into next week against the New Orleans Saints as very, very large underdogs. Jeremy and favorites, excuse me, the Saints are large underdogs. Jeremy and Joe asked me this morning if there's any danger of overlooking them. My response was, I don't see the Bills really ever doing that under Sean McDermott. Yes, they had a stinker in Jacksonville a few years ago. Things like that do happen sometimes, but I think the hallmark of a Sean McDermott team has been consistency. When they have a team they're supposed to throttle, they generally do. Tennessee last year, Jacksonville last year, Houston the year before that. It just seems like that's not something we worry about with the Bills.
No, you're right. I mean, and sometimes we snicker when we listen to Sean McDermott, you know, give flowers to all these teams that we know the Bills are probably going to drum. But it's true in the NFL. You can't take anyone lightly. And look, it almost burned the Bills the other night, right? I mean, Miami, nobody gave Miami a chance to come in. They're driving for the tying touchdown with 3 minutes to go. And like we said, they make the killer mistake and the Bills survive. But you can't count any team in the NFL out of any game. We just saw the Browns. I mean, for crying out loud,
that's right.
How did they beat the Packers yesterday? Stupid things happen in the NFL. So I don't give the Saints much of a chance in this game. I've already made my pick for the paper. I've got a 34-14. So I'm expecting the Bills to take care of their business. But yeah, they are facing for the second week in a row a desperate, winless team, and those teams can sometimes be dangerous.
By the way, the Browns' defense is really, really good, and that's a big reason why they were able to stay in that game until late and maybe making a couple of plays, including on special teams. Last one at the Bills, and then I want to talk about baseball and the Yankees coming out. Last one with football, I should say. Who is the biggest threat outside of Baltimore? And we know the Bills already played them. I guess I would ask you, what do you think about the Chargers and the Colts and what they're doing and even where the Chiefs are?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Colts are obviously improved, but they don't worry me, Sal. They're 3-0. I'm not really too worried about the Colts. If the Bills were to see them down the road in the postseason, I think the Bills are a better team. Now, the Chargers are a different animal. That is, I think, a really good team. Their defense has been incredible this year. They would give Josh Allen and the Bills a heck of a fight. And then Herbert, you know, I've never really been a huge Herbert fan, but he seems like he is finally starting to emerge as a superstar quarterback. He's been kind of a, you know, there's their tier one guys, right? And Allen's in that tier one, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes. I always figured Herbert as a tier two guy. I think he's starting to push now into that tier one. They've got a really nice team. I think they're going to be a big threat too. I think the Ravens and the Chargers might be the two teams that are right there with Buffalo in the AFC.
Sal Majorana joining us here on the West Her Hotline. You can subscribe to his free Yankees newsletter, Pinstripe People. Go check it out. It's online. You can check him out at his Twitter feed. And, of course, 1 week left here in the Major League Baseball season. Okay, the Yankees are two games back of the Blue Jays. And the way that the schedule sets up, they might have a look at it. But, boy, they have to win it outright, Sal, because the Blue Jays have the head-to-head. And, of course, there's no one-game tiebreaker anymore. So, I don't know. I still think three games might be a little too much to overcome here.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I mean, the Yankees do have the easier schedule. They've got the White Sox for three. They're all at home.
Yep.
The White Sox for three, they're horrible. They should sweep them. And Baltimore, look, they just took 3 of 4, but that's a team that could still give the Yankees a little bit of a problem next weekend, or this coming weekend, I should say. If the Yankees go 5-1, Sal, Toronto would have to go 2-4, and I don't see that. Now, they are playing the Red Sox, and the Red Sox are battling for their lives, so that's not going to be easy for Toronto. And then they finish, I think the Rays are the last team they play. So I don't see the Yankees doing it. Sure, it's possible. If they were to go 6-0 and really put the pressure on the Blue Jays, I guess it could be possible, but I think it's going to be the top wild card for the Yankees, and that's good because they'll play that series at home. Just got to figure out who it's going to be against, because right now that race is wide open. That's between Boston, believe it or not, Cleveland, and Houston now for that number two seed or number two wild card seed.
What do you think about a Yankees Red Sox best of three to open the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been looking at for really the last few weeks, because it just felt like Toronto was going to win the division, and then the Yankees were the clear Yankees and Red Sox were the clear 1-2 wild card teams. Now that's changed. With Cleveland winning, you know, 10 games in a row, all of a sudden Houston has dropped off a little bit. Things have kind of changed. The Red Sox, I think the Yankees are locked in at that top spot, but I don't think the Red Sox are locked in at number five. The Yankees could see the Guardians or maybe even the Astros in that first wild card series. So that would be a big change, because I really thought it was going to be the Red Sox probably the last 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, so what are you, give me the rankings. What's the concern level? Who would you rather face if you're a Yankees fan out of those teams you mentioned?
You know, I would say Cleveland, because I think the Yankees are clearly a better roster than Cleveland, but you don't want to be playing a team that is that hot. Now, what could happen, Sal, the Guardians are playing the Tigers. In fact, they're home against the Tigers for three straight. They could win the division.
That's right.
Which would be one of the greatest, well, it would be the greatest comeback in baseball history.
Wow.
I mean, they were 15 and a half out. So they actually could win the division, and Detroit might get pushed into the wild card round. So I think the Tigers, as bad as they've played, they're a pretty good team. I don't really have a preference, honestly. I mean, I would prefer, honestly, Sal, I would prefer it wasn't the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Because for one reason and one reason only, I just could not stomach losing to the Red Sox. So I don't want to have to worry about that.
I totally get it.
You know what? It's going to be a tough series no matter who they play. It really will be.
And then, of course, the Blue Jays having this magical season, this magical run. It's kind of going a little bit of sideways here, but how do you think the Blue Jays will fare given their bullpen issues over the last month or so?
Yeah, they have. They haven't played as well. For a while there in August or whatever it was when they really took control of the division, they looked like the best team in the American League. Now, I think right now they still have the best record, but I'm not sure that they're playing at that same level. We'll see. They can still, their offense is still pretty dangerous, but you're right, their bullpen's a problem. I think right now the Yankees match up a little bit better with the Blue Jays than they did the last time they played them, actually the last couple times they've played them. So I do feel a little bit better if they have to end up seeing the Blue Jays. And I don't think the Blue Jays are a lock. They're not a lock to win the AL. They might have the best record, but there's holes on that team.
I don't know if you saw, but on the Yankees broadcast a few days ago, Michael Kay gave a nice shout-out to John Simon, Howard Simon's son, who works for the Yankees, and he got married to his now-wife, Carly. They talked about it on the broadcast because the entire PR staff, except for the PR director, went to the wedding, and that's how they treated him. It was great that they were able to do that. So that's really cool, and it's a good transition for me to ask you about Howard Simon's Mets and a lot of people in Western New York, their Mets. Wow, what happened to the Mets, Sal?
Yeah, that is stunning. I mean, you talk about collapses. We talk about Detroit. The Mets were the best team in baseball in the middle of June. They had the best record, 21 games over 500, and they have completely gone in the tank. And what's crazy about it, Sal, is Soto got off to a really kind of a terrible start for him while they were winning all those games. Now he has been basically the Soto that we had last year with the Yankees. But the rest of the team has just gone in the crapper. They're pitching. I mean, they're relying on three rookies in their starting rotation. And, you know, those guys have pitched okay. But then they get to their bullpen, and they've just imploded. They have one guy they can count on, Diaz, as the closer. And everybody else has just failed miserably. Plus a couple of their top guys, Alonso and Lindor, you know, haven't been great down the stretch. Soto has been great, but the other guys really haven't. The Mets are the Mets, man, right? These
yeah.
things just seem to happen to the Mets. And I feel bad for Howard. I feel bad for Mets fans, because if they miss the playoffs, yeah. what an offseason that's going to be for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, real quickly, big win for Syracuse. That was cool to see, huh?
It was cool to see, and then the quarterback
yeah,
got hurt.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Terrible.
I actually watched the game because I had nothing to do Saturday, and I was shocked by how well they played against Clemson, and then to see that kid go down, it really put a damper on that game. It's one of their best wins that program has had for a long time, and it really did take some of the fun out of it.
Yeah, no doubt. Now Ricky Collins takes over, and you know, he's a highly rated recruit out of high school. He did play at LSU. He transferred to Syracuse, but definitely Steve Angeli, you got a feel for the kid. He was off to the same start as Kyle McCord last year, and Kyle McCord led the nation in passing, which was crazy, right? Or at least the ACC.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he was off to a great start. By the way, real quick on that, Fran Brown is the real deal, I think, as a coach and human being, it seems like. Now look, I'm not saying he's going to win national championships at Syracuse, but I think at least, Sal, we've seen bad coaching. I think this is what a good coach looks like.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He's got the program turned in the right direction. Clearly, they are starting to do better in the NIL, too.
Yes.
I mean, this guy has attacked that. I think Syracuse is throwing some money at players, and that's going to help. They have to do that. If they're going to compete in the ACC in a Power Four conference, they've got to do that, and I think they have. He's obviously a good recruiter. I will say this. I even tweeted it. I did not like his clock management
right.
in that fourth quarter. There was some crazy, dumb things that Syracuse did, but they ended up holding on and getting the win, so that was good. But you're right. I think he's the guy that can get this thing. Well, he's already got the thing turned around, and I think they're in a good spot moving forward with him as head coach.
Yeah, you're right. I thought Jeff Nixon was a little bit too aggressive, the offensive coordinator, in that scenario. Pinstripe People is the name of the newsletter. What do you got going on this week at Pinstripe People as we look ahead to the final week of the regular season?
Yeah, just put out the weekend edition this morning. I've got I'll have one out Friday morning after the who they playing next. I forget who they playing.
White Sox.
The White Sox.
There you go.
And then I'll have the one Monday. And then once the postseason starts, I keep doing it, cranking them out. People are enjoying it. So yeah, subscribe. It's for free. And I always appreciate those plugs.
So you got it.
Great job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, buddy. And appreciate you. Thanks for coming on. I'm glad we were able to do this today. We'll do it again when there's a Monday after a non-Sunday game, okay?
All right, sounds good, Sal.
All right, you got it. Sal Marana on the Wester Hotline. Always doing a great job. If you're a Yankee fan, if you're a baseball fan, I mean, he puts his blood, sweat, and tears into his Pinstripe People newsletter. Check it out, please. It is really awesome. Just type it in, Pinstripe People. It's free. Just sign up. Just put your name on there with an email. You get it all the time, and there's historical stuff. There's current stuff. It's Yankees especially, but it's baseball as well. Sal Marana right there. All right, let's take a look around the NFL yesterday. And this weekend, what happened? It started off, of course, with the Bills' big 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins on Thursday night. Then the Panthers. How in the world did they beat the Falcons 30-0? You want to know how? Because Michael Penix wasn't that good. 18 of 36 for 172 yards and two touchdowns. They did put Kirk Cousins in. Excuse me. Is Kirk Cousins the quarterback when the Bills play the Falcons? Coming up on Monday Night Football in a few weeks. All right. What else happened yesterday? That Cleveland defense, the Browns, 13-10 over the Packers. They have a big special teams play. They the turnover. They had a couple turnovers. And yesterday was a lot of special teams plays. They had the did they block a field goal too? I think somebody might have. Can't remember if they did. I remember that they had somebody's going to tell me right now what it is. Either way, defense was great in the fourth quarter for the Browns, but the entire day it was really good. 183 yards passing for Jordan Love. They really couldn't do much in the passing game. But the Browns, even though their numbers on offense weren't that good, this is how they're going to have to win games. They were 4 of 13 on third down. The Browns, the two teams combined here, Packers had 230 offense, Browns had 221. Both teams combined for 3.9 each, and 3.9 for the Browns, 3.8 yards per play for the Packers. Ugh! But they still won. Packers no longer unbeaten. Jacksonville beats Houston. I don't think either of these teams is very good, to be quite honest with you. And I tweeted yesterday, someday there's going to be a documentary on how quickly and much C.J. Stroud regressed.
I know. He looks like a completely different person.
But what happened was, after I tweeted it, I had a lot of people saying to me, well, he was really never that good in the first place. Okay, if you want to say that, be my guest. As a rookie, the dude had 4,100 yards passing, 23 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. He was that good as a rookie. Now, maybe some was inflated because of schedule. There were some advanced stats to show that it really wasn't as good. Whatever. That's fine. You can't tell me he wasn't pretty good as rookie. He was very good. And he certainly regressed. But yesterday, 204 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks. And out of that 204, one was a 50-yard blown coverage that he got to Nico Collins for a touchdown. And then on the other side, I mean, the Jags, what are they doing on offense? 20 of 40 for Trevor Lawrence, 222, an interception. I just don't think either team is very good. Bengals get rolled by the Vikings, 48-10. How about this guy, Isaiah Rodgers, who has 2 touchdowns on defense, 1 a pick 6, 1 a fumble recovery. Doesn't go well for Jake Browning's first start taking over for Joe Burrow, at least this year. I mean, Steelers, there's a big debate on Steelers Twitter and Patriots Twitter about like how the Steelers actually won. Like, there's people saying, oh, my God, the Patriots gave the game to the Steelers. And there's people saying, well, they took it. because they went and got the ball on the ground. Either way, I mean, this was not a great offensive showing by either team, but especially the Patriots, who just kept giving the ball away. And the Steelers did force some of those turnovers, of course, and they did win 21-14 to go to 2-1. Patriots now 1-2. Eagles win on a walk-off blocked kick return touchdown, although they didn't need the touchdown. The blocked kick is what they need. They needed it. They were up by, it was what, 33? So it was at the time of the blocked kick, it was 27-26. They get the blocked kick. The game is over, but then Davis returns it for a touchdown. Eagles stay undefeated 3-0, Super Bowl champs defending. Rams go to 2-1. Oh, speaking of blocked kicks, return for a touchdown. Jets had one, but then they blow it in the end to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield and company. 233 yards for Baker Mayfield. Tyrod Taylor throws for 197 and two touchdowns. Not enough as the Jets go to 0-3. Buccaneers go to 3-0. Indy rolls again. They are the second highest scoring team in the NFL behind the Ravens. Bills are third. Indy 41-20 over the Titans. And Cam Ward going through some growing pains here. But Daniel Jones looks pretty darn good. 3-0 for the Colts. Tennessee Titans 0-3. Washington Commanders get a nice fill-in performance from Marcus Mariota. Not great. Did it just well enough. 15 of 21, 207 and a touchdown. Jaden Daniels sits in this game with the injury. Trey Tucker, 145 yards and three touchdowns receiving for the Vegas Raiders. Not enough. They lose 41-24. Raiders 1-2, Commanders 2-1. The Denver Broncos had a lead on the Chargers. They took the lead. Chargers come back. They win the game on a Cameron Dicker 43-yard field goal to remain undefeated. 23-20 over the Broncos. AFC West is going to be really, really fun to watch this year. Broncos fall to 1-2. Seattle all over New Orleans. Saints come to Buffalo next week. 44-13. The score in that game. At one time, it was 44-6 in that game. 31-14. Bears beat the Cowboys. And Caleb Williams looked a lot better, but he still missed a lot of throws he should have made. And he still threw for four touchdowns. 19-28, 298, four touchdowns. Dak Prescott, 251, a touchdown, two interceptions. CeeDee Lamb injured. Should be okay, though, going forward. Bears go to 1-2. Cowboys also 1-2 after the loss. 49ers might have lost Joey Bosa. Nick Bosa. We'll see about that. They get a fill-in performance from Mac Jones, thrown for 284 and a touchdown. They had the lead. They blew it. They come back. They get the game-winning field goal, 16-15. 16-15 over the Arizona Cardinals. What a score that is. We'll take a timeout. We talked about the Kansas City Chiefs game last night. We got the Lions and Ravens tonight. We got Paul Hamilton up next to talk about the Sabres game also tonight, opening their preseason in Columbus.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
It is that time of year again. One of my favorite times of the year. Jeremy's like fall's elite. Yeah. What's the best sports month? September, October. I think maybe I might be partial to October. You got baseball playoffs. You got the NFL in full swing. And you have your Buffalo Sabres starting the regular season. But tonight starts the preseason. So one of my favorite times of the year is when we start to talk to Paul Hamilton about the Sabres actually on the ice. Not about the draft, not about free agency, all those things that are happening. Tonight, the first glimpse of the 2025-26 Buffalo Sabres in Columbus. They take on the Blue Jackets. You'll hear it right here on WGR Sports Radio 550, starting puck drops at 7 p.m. Paul joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Sal, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you. How'd you spend your weekend? Did you watch any football without the Bills on?
Watching Red Zone. I mean, keeping track of the fantasy teams, watching, because you don't get a chance really to do that all that often. So, whether I'm watching the Bills or I have the Sabres going on, sometimes we're on the road, so I don't get the opportunity where I don't have to have a notepad in front of me and just enjoy some NFL football. So, yeah, it was a fun day.
Paul, a lot I'd love to get to, but we don't have a lot of time here. So I do want to start, though, with what happened last week. I was on the air when the Rasmus Dahlin situation broke about his wife and the letter that was written. Very, very scary. Obviously, very, very good news that she's on the road to recovery and hopefully all is well. Where does that stand with him as far as, playing? And have you guys spoken with Rasmus Dahlin and just your thoughts on that situation?
Well, I think the fact that, he didn't want to get too far into it, and I totally understand. But you know, just the fact that she's in rehab now and seems to be coming out the other side and is okay after her heart transplant, I think allows him to be here. And she's back in Sweden, her home, so I'm sure she has family and whatever looking after her. But he said she's really attacking rehab really hard, and he's really proud of her the way she's doing that. If she still was in rough shape or whatever, he would not be here. He would be with her. For that to happen when you're in France on vacation and you go from vacation to next thing you know, being resuscitated numerous times. I mean, not just once, but numerous times. And then on life support. I mean, it's just, she winds up getting a heart transplant for her ailments. So it's just, I'm thankful to hear that she's okay. Very nice. I don't know her all that well, but I have met her, and a very, very nice person, and thankful she's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And obviously we'll be keeping Carolina in our thoughts with Rasmus Dahlin and his family as well. Sabres in Columbus tonight. Let's turn to what's going to happen on the ice tonight and the lineup. The lineup is out. Now, there's only so much you can do with the lineup to make this happen, but I really got the sense, listening to Lindy Ruff, that they want to start fast, and that means this year, when the regular season starts, start fast, which means they want to keep as much of the group together to get as many reps as possible. Kind of the opposite of like a football team, right, with the preseason and not playing your starters. I feel like the Sabres here, Paul, really want to make sure they're hitting their stride as soon as the season begins.
Yeah, we've already seen the morning skate for tonight, but quite honestly, Sal, what I'm looking at right now is the morning skate for tomorrow.
Yep.
They'll have a morning skate. They're practicing right now. So these are the players that will play the home game, and generally that's what happens. You get a few veterans sprinkled in on the road, but Dahlin, Thompson, maybe Tuck. I think Tuck has a pretty good chance to be in the lineup tomorrow. Zucker, Lyon, those guys, will be in that group that plays at home. But as I look at the lineup for tonight, you basically have two Sabre lines and two Rochester lines and three Sabre defensemen and one junior defenseman and two Rochester defensemen. And you have a Rochester goalie and a Sabre goalie. So he basically split the roster right down the middle. But the Sabre lines are more of the youngsters. Kulik, Doan, Quinn, Krebs, those Power. Byram is still a youngster. You know, Levi, those types of guys. So, that's what they're, you're going to see on the road games. And that's why a lot of preseason games are also so one-sided, because the other teams do the same thing. So Columbus will have a lot of their NHL players probably in the lineup being home. And then tomorrow they'll have a lineup similar to what Buffalo has tonight, and the Sabres will have most of their NHL players. So that's usually the way it goes in preseason, although I got to give last year credit, because if you recall, the Sabres were in Europe, so the whole Sabre team were Rochester guys playing the preseason slate. They did pretty well, if you recall. They won a couple of games. They didn't back off, even though they were an AHL team playing an NHL team, and did pretty well.
Yeah, and speaking of Europe, Lindy Ruff talked about the difference between last year and how training camp and preseason looked, and really they felt a lot better this year. They feel a lot better not having to go to Europe. The other thing that he feels really good about, and I think Kevin Adams, very striking to me how much they talked up how much better they feel they'll be at the blue line, how much better they'll be of keeping pucks out of their own end. It feels to me like, Paul, they're extremely confident in the upgrades that they made.
And they should be. I think they are better defensively. I think the fans of Buffalo will like Kesselring and what he brings. He's huge, by the way. I mean, I know he's big, but wait till you see him. He's just – I didn't think we'd see a partner for Owen Power that's actually quite a bit bigger than Owen Power, but he is. I mean, and the Sabres now basically have towering defensemen. They have Power, they have Kesselring, they have Samuelson. Dahlin is fairly tall. So, I mean, they've kind of switched that around a little bit. And, a guy like Timmins doesn't take a back seat to anybody as far as, being harder to play against. You get that with him. You're going to get that with Doan, who is going to play tonight. I mean, he's in the middle of everything, and fans, I think, are going to enjoy watching him play too. He's an agitator. The other team is not going to like him. he is going to be around the net where goals are scored. And I saw an example of that right in the scrimmage here on Saturday where, you know, he was part of the number two power play. And Bo Byram, he gets the puck's under Lyon. He gets the puck loose and it comes out in the crease. Guess who's standing there? Doan. He's right there in the crease where goals are scored. How many times have we seen pucks pop loose and there's no Sabre to be found because they're not around the net, they're on the perimeter. So, and there's an upside to Doan too, possibly. I mean, this is a guy that did score, I'm going by memory, I believe it was 26 goals in the American Hockey League. So he's got a good shot. You know, it took him a bit to maybe get used to the NHL last year, but his second half of the season was a little bit better playing with Utah. So there's a possibility that there could be an offensive upside, maybe a little bit like McLeod, if you remember last year.
Yeah.
He had never had more than 12 or 13 goals, and by the time he was done, he had 20.
Yeah, Paul, we know that the Sabres are dealing with a few guys injured. You hope you get through the preseason and training camp without any additional injuries. But what are the updates on UPL, Alex Tuch, and Jordan Greenway?
Lindy Ruff didn't. He said it was possible we could see Lukanen in today or tomorrow. Didn't see him today. We've seen him, you know, stand behind the bench and watch practice, so he's around. But, you know, so we knew he wasn't going to play in either game and whether he practices tomorrow. So he's kind of that close. He's getting there. The reason Alex Tuch didn't participate in the scrimmage, it was his first practice of camp. So what the group did is they actually practiced first and then scrimmaged. And Alex Tuch did everything in practice. But Lindy Ruff didn't want to stretch him out into the scrimmage then being his first day. And he said, you know, he felt probably not ready to play today or doesn't want him to play today. Get another good skate in, which is happening in front of me. He's doing everything in the skate. Pretty good chance you will see him in the lineup tomorrow unless he has a setback.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. One final question for you, Paul. I'm just really curious about the goaltending situation. Obviously, they plan on UPL being the number one goalie. That was even basically stated, so there's no question there. But what about behind him? Do you think they have an initial plan on where they think guys fall, or will they just let this thing settle where it is at the end of camp?
Oh, yeah. The plan was Lyon to be here and then Levi to be in Rochester, backed up by Leninen and Ratslav. I imagine those two might go back and forth between Rochester as a backup and Jacksonville as a starter in the East Coast League. But then Georgiev shows up, and I had a chance to chat with him, and fans will be able to hear that interview on the pregame with Chopin the Bulldog today. But, you know, he felt this was a good opportunity for him, and you know, I'm kind of thinking, why? I mean, you know what's happening here. You know that the structure of the goaltending, I mean, he's into a lot of competition. And if Lukanen comes back, are they going to carry three goalies again? Mm-hmm. Are we going to do that again? I know Lindy Ruff doesn't like it. I know Kevin Adams would not prefer that. You could send Georgiev to Rochester, but he's not the starter. Levi's the starter. So then he signed to be the backup in the American Hockey League. Now, he would have to clear waivers to go down there. Maybe they're thinking, all right, if Lukanen's back 100% and you got to send somebody down, then maybe somebody would claim him off waivers. That's why, you know, I said to you last time we spoke, it just seemed to me that maybe they're a little more concerned about Lukanen, that this possibly could go on. And that's why at this late date, Georgiev, who had, as he told me today, he hadn't had an opportunity. He was looking for one, had talked to other teams, and then had a long conversation with his former assistant coach with the New York Rangers, Lindy Ruff, and decided this was the place for him. So he decided to sign and come.
All right, Paul, we'll be all over the coverage tonight, and you will be, and we'll be monitoring that. At PHAM1717. It's that time of year, buddy. Great to talk to you, and we will again soon. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, that is Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. And, oh, yeah, let me tell you, when Paul comes on, his reports are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax. We got this. You know what I got? One final segment left here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. We'll run through everything we need to at the end here, which is sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, I haven't forgotten about you. We'll do it all after this timeout to wrap up the program on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.